Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Welcome, welcome to Suzy Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, every once in a while, a book comes along that kind of rocks your world. It changes your pace, changes the way you frame your hardships, and maybe even changes the way that you think about God. Well, a good friend of mine, Jody Roush, stumbled upon a book that was actually in her book stack in her home, but God was guiding her and pointing out and highlighting this book, and it became a game changer for her. So she suggested I read it. In fact, she's she and her hubby are pastors of the church that I attend. They got the whole church pretty much to read it, and everybody was really moved. I mean, people were saying, I didn't think I had any unforgiveness in my heart, but when they picked up the book and thought about what does total forgiveness look like, they realized there were some things hidden in the crevices of their heart, unresolved grudges, issues that they were sort of hanging on to, not even realizing it. Well, as I said, my friend Jody Roush joins me today for a conversation about R.T. Kendall's classic book, Total Forgiveness. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point the finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. Now I want to say thank you so much to Charisma House because they're offering 5 copies of this book to give away today. Again, the title is Total Forgiveness. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're going to call the show today Book Talk, and we're going to try it out. We might just do this more often. If there's a book you'd like us to cover and just have a conversation about, let us know. Always email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com, and suggest a book. That would be great. But today, we're talking about R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness. So here's a question for you, and I always love your honest answers. I just love and appreciate you so much. So here's a question I'm asking you to be honest about. Is there an offense that you are aware of that you're still holding on to? Text me yes or no. Is there an offense that you're aware of, or it's just sort of not going away? You kind of keep crafting your defense. You're still bugged that they did what they did. And if their name comes up, you catch yourself saying a few things. Is there a grudge or an offense you're still holding on to? Text yes or no, 877-933-2484. And if you can give me a reason why, this is a no judgment zone. We're just trying to work through this in hopes and praying that by the end of the hour, you feel and sense the invitation that God has so much more for you than the grudge, than the unforgiveness, that He's inviting you into something that is so much better. And we'll talk about that. One more quick announcement. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, and we should be appreciating our pastors all year long. They have almost an impossible job, but this month, especially, we highlight just to honor our pastors. If you'd like to honor your pastor, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. Tell us what you love about your pastor. We'll send them a thank you note and a gift card for a cup of coffee, and just our way of saying we see you, we notice you, and so do your people. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jody Roush serves alongside her husband, Nate, as lead pastors of Emmanuel, a multi-site church in the northern suburbs of Minneapolis. She provides leadership at Emmanuel Christian Center as the director of discipleship pathways, director of women's ministry, as well as teaching and preaching in multiple environments. She and her husband, Nate, have been married for 28 years. Together, they have 4 grown sons, 3 beautiful daughters-in-law, and 3 grandkids who have captured their hearts. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here and join you, and this is such an honor. Appreciate you.
Well, you're a precious friend. So this is just us sitting across the table having a conversation, and friends get to listen in. So we'll start this way. It doesn't have to at all connect with the book or the content, but just what has God been pressing upon your heart these days?
Well, the scripture that has been standing out to me a lot is Hebrews 11:6, and it is this, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him." And so there was earlier this summer, I felt like the Lord was stirring in my heart and just saying, "Jody, do you know that I am a rewarder?" And I'm like, "I want you to know I'm a rewarder." And it was in my prayer time, and it was a time that I just really felt like the Holy Spirit was just nudging me. And I went on a quest of what does this mean to be a rewarder? And this is the scripture that came to me. And the Bible talks about that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so my hubby and I, we kind of laugh about it. I'm like, I might not always do great on faith and have these great ideas, but I'm going to win out on persistence. And so as we diligently seek the Lord, we're going to find him.
Yeah. And it is amazing. And I think so often we throw those things out because maybe there's certain persuasions that have made God a means to an end. So we throw the whole baby out with the bathwater. I don't want to talk about it because I'm in it for Jesus, which we are in it for Jesus. But, you know, C.S. Lewis, Spurgeon, all these great, awesome dead guys have said, you've got to pay attention to the fact that Jesus said a lot about rewards and about my Father wants to bless you because he wants us to tend to what's on his heart. So I think it's worth our time to think about.
It's such an exciting thing to think about because the Lord, I mean, there's so many things that the Lord rewards in the scripture, everything from self-denial to suffering. I mean, sometimes we think about the great things we get, but it's the things that we deny that we find in eternity will be rewarded.
So. Yeah, even prayer, you know, praying in the secret place, he says he'll reward you publicly for that private, powerful prayer life. So very awesome. Well, we're doing something new just because we want to compile a show together from all of our guests on gratitude. So I'm just wondering, what do you catch yourself being most thankful for these days?
Well, I am so grateful. You know, we're talking about Pastor Appreciation Month, and I had a gal. Shirley Dennis was the lead pastor of Emmanuel, the founding pastor's wife, and she passed away about a month ago. And I had an opportunity to speak at her funeral, and I am so grateful for her and the impact that she made on my life. She was a woman of prayer. She was consistent. She was humble. She sought the Lord, and it was always all about Jesus. And so anytime people would try to exalt her, she wouldn't want it. She was like, it's all about Jesus. And as I spoke about her and I reflected on her life, that time of preparation just shifted something in my spirit. Hmm. And it just gave me a different perspective about eternity, about how God can use me. And I am, you know, you heard at the beginning, I am a grandma now. And so I'm in my 50s. And to reflect on this woman who I met when she was 57. Wow. And I was 20 and she was 57. And she poured into me and believed in me and always believed in the next generation. It just did something to reflect on that and go, you know what? My best years are ahead. And God, if I lean into what he has, if I care about the next generation, I can make a difference too. So I am grateful for the impact of Shirley Dennis and the opportunity to reflect on what she meant in my life.
That's so beautiful. Scripture says, better to go to a house of mourning than a house where there's a party. And I think that's why, just because eternity comes into view. So, okay, we love books. You and I both love books. And we're both starting to like cute clothes, if I can be honest.
That could get me in trouble,
yeah,
but it's fun.
I think it's my fault. But anyway, maybe not.
Just a little.
But, you know, we both do love books. And R.T. Kendall has been one of my favorites for many years because I think he's just so balanced. And, I mean, he just slices through it all to me. And I've just loved him forever. But you, God really prompted you to pick up Total Forgiveness. I want to read the subtitle again. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. We've got 5 copies to give away. 877. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. Give us just a backstory that leading up to the day when God pointed this book out. Why did you need this book?
Well, I would not have considered myself an unforgiving person. I mean, I have people in my life who are super grudge holders, and I, you know, it's easy to look at them and go, wow, they've got a forgiveness problem. They need to learn how to forgive. And I wouldn't have thought myself as someone who held a grudge. And my husband, he bless his heart, he went for his dissertation, and it took about 8 years, the process of going for his doctorate, working on dissertation. We had so many different things going on in our life that it took a lot of time. And so even when he wasn't working on it, it was always in the backdrop, and so it kind of created stress. So he finally got to the point where this dissertation got done, he graduated, and we're all excited, and I realized, I'm happy for you, but I'm kind of mad. Kind of mad that it took a lot of time from me, from the family, and just had this little bit of anger, you know, not just subtle. And so didn't think too much about it. And he took some time off that summer and we just enjoyed time together. This was about four and a half years ago or so. Took time together and, you know, we were out on a bike ride and I thought, well, I just have a little bit of time to reflect. And so I started talking to him. I'm like, I really miss you. And I was frustrated about the lack of time that we had had. And he's like, wait a minute, I didn't expect this. And I'm like, well, I know. And I know that you're trying and you're doing all these things, but I guess I don't know. And the words came tumbling out of my mouth when I just had just a ton of emotions. And I said, I'm wounded and I can't heal myself. And I realized at that moment, he couldn't have done anything to fix the situation because he was trying. And I had this wound that I didn't even realize I had. And so I went home that day and I called my sister, which, you know, you got to call
a
girlfriend.
Twin. She's a twin.
I'm identical twin. So, mm-hmm. You know, she's in the inner circle. So I got to call my sister. And she began to tell me about another book. And I read this book and one of the questions in this book, it was all about marriage and really about the woman's role in the marriage. And it was a book to make you reflect on yourself. And there were seven questions. And one of them was this. It said, why do I want to stay mad at him? And when I read that, I'm like, do I want to stay mad at him? I think I might. And I didn't even realize that I was harboring this little bit of angst, this little bit of anger. And I'm like, I think I am mad at him. And so then when I kept reading there, it just talked about forgiveness. Like that little bit of anger was rooted in unforgiveness. And I'm like, I have unforgiveness. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to fix this. And so that's what led me on this quest.
So
yeah, that I've got to figure out this forgiveness. So then I looked on my book bin, and on the top of the book bin was total forgiveness. And I'm like, this is just God's providence. So I picked up the book. It was a little tattered and torn. And I opened it up and read the introduction. And there was a verse in the introduction. It said this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs 27. And it was the King James Version. And when I saw that word wounds, I'm like, this is what I had just said to my husband. Like, he is someone who loves me. He cares for me. And I am wounded. And that's going to happen when we have friends that close to us. And so I knew that this was the answer to my prayers, that this was going to help me learn how to forgive and the wound in my heart would be healed. So that's
amazing
how it started.
And this is why I love this story, Jody, because you serve with your husband, you love your husband, you guys have a solid marriage, a thriving ministry. This is why this is so important, because as you said, there are some who are walking around with just a root of bitterness, and you can see the bitterness on their face because it's taken over so much of their life. But there are lots of people who are God-fearing people who love the people that they may have a hurt in, but it's sitting in there unresolved. And that's why I love your story so much, is because you always honored him, you love him, he's great, you're great, you guys have a good marriage, but there was something that God was saying, I see it, and I want to lift this thing out of the soul, of your soul, so I can heal you. And he so faithfully led the way. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to dig into some of the content. One of the things that stood out as I read this book was that when you refuse to forgive, you actually are diminishing the God-given anointing on your life. And when you enter into total forgiveness, you actually walk in a greater anointing in your life. There's so many things on the other side of forgiveness. And sometimes we think we want our pound of flesh. And well, a lot of times we think that, or we just don't think we have to resolve it. We can just walk around with that thing in our soul at great cost to ourselves and to many. So we're going to talk about, what is total forgiveness? How do you totally forgive? It's an invitation from God, and he has something so much better for you. More with Jody Roush as we talk about R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness, in just a moment. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. You know, God's will for you is your best case scenario. What he wants for you is so much better than what you could want for yourself. Today, we're doing something new and fresh called Book Talk. And we may do this every once in a while on a regular basis if you'd like us to. But I've got my good friend Jody Roush in studio. And God really pointed her to the book by R.T. Kendall. I highly recommend him as an author. I think he's so biblically sound and wonderful. This book is titled Total Forgiveness. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. Such a fantastic book. We got 5 copies to give away thanks to the generosity of Charisma House. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. I already see some of you sharing some of the incredibly painful things you've endured. And I just want to tell you how sorry I am. And we are going to be praying at the end for those who are still holding on and you don't know how to get through. Before the break, Jody, you were talking about Jody again, her husband and she, Pastor Emmanuel Christian Center, where I attend. And, you guys have this strong marriage, but Nate went through a lot of years of schooling and he's always been in high demand in different capacities, but 8 years working towards his doctorate degree. And once he got through that, some stuff surfaced for you where you were just feeling burnt out and hurt because of how much of that weight was on you. And the Lord, you know, through a series of steps pointed you to total forgiveness and you picked up the book. You already had it in your home. What stood out to you? Like, how did God start to deal with you, speak with you, heal you?
Well, there's so many things in this book, but some of the main things that stood out to me is why to forgive. We need to know why we should forgive. And Jesus tells us to forgive. And it's also one of the things you had said earlier about how the anointing is affected when we are walking in unforgiveness. And so if we want that closeness with God, that is one of the main reasons why we need to forgive. The second thing that really stood out to me is how to forgive. I didn't know that I didn't know how to forgive. And there were so many things in this book that take you through a step-by-step process of describing what forgiveness is, what it's not. And that really helped me to learn how to forgive. It's not being revengeful or talking about someone. It's being able to overlook it after a while, not excuse it, but be able to get past it, I guess. And then the last thing is how we too can unknowingly hurt others and be in need of forgiveness ourselves. And so it's so easy for me to be able to look at my husband and say, well, you were so busy, but there were things that I was doing unknowingly that he would have to forgive me as well. And so being able to extend forgiveness to others, it is helped so we can have it extended back to us.
And yeah.
Scriptural, right?
Indeed. You know, RT talks so much about that, about he really made the priority your oneness with God and your walking in the anointing of God and you walking in the freedom. I feel like he makes such a biblical case. It's like, how would you not want to, even with the most difficult things? And he even said, he guessed something like 90% of the people he's had to forgive would be indignant if they knew that he needed to forgive them. In other words, we don't even know half the time when we're offending and hurting people, but we can walk around accumulating a case or not, you know?
And really, like, my husband didn't do anything grievous toward me. It was maybe really my unmet expectations and sometimes unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, I have lots of high hopes, and having to deal with those expectations can lead to disappointment, which you need to learn to forgive.
So, you know, you think about that. We don't even know a lot of the times when we are, you know, like you had said this in the study guide that you'd written. You said this. Sometimes people intentionally hurt us. That's true. But a greater measure of the time, it's unintentional. Offenses arise through, as you say, unmet expectations, selfish behavior, simple mishaps. But in our divisive culture, we can easily find ourselves offended by coworkers, friends, family, pastors, politicians, a social media post. I mean, we've got constant reasons and opportunities to be offended. And I always say, when lawlessness increases, love decreases. And when love decreases, the chance for offense kind of goes off the chart. So somehow, some way, we got to figure out how to work this out so we can walk in a purity of heart. So when you started to apply some of the things you were learning on how to forgive, and when you felt like God really invited you, made a case, like, it's better for you, Jody, if we work this out, what started to change for you?
Well, mainly my relationship with the Lord and my relationship with my husband. And so I remember talking to him when I was on this journey of realizing that I had this wound and I needed to have it healed. I had said, Nate, I am doing everything right. I love the Lord. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. And I feel like God is still so far away. Mm. And so as I began to forgive and let go of all the little offenses and even the big ones, I felt God's presence very near. And I remember him and I went on a trip and it was really fun. And something bothered me that he did. It just irritated me. And it's just, you know, some of the things a husband, wife, you know, the little things. It's the little things. And I could feel that distance from God. And I went, no. I care too much about God's presence in my life.
Wow.
I am going to let this go. And I just could feel the presence of the Lord re-enter my life.
Wow.
And so I think that's probably my biggest takeaway is, like, I care so much about feeling God's presence that I am going to extend forgiveness, not just to my husband, but to my kids, to people in the church, to people in the society in general, because it's so worth it to me to have that closeness with God.
So good. And in a little bit, we'll talk about kind of how do you forgive the unforgivable. But interesting to me that you talked about, you know, politicians and social media posts. Again, as believers, I've been trying to make the case on the show quite often, especially in this election season, that we're the ones who steward our perspectives. And even though there's lots of opportunities, I mean, when I look at some of the things that are happening to our children these days, if I think too long about it, I get really upset. But I feel the charge from God in the same way that you're talking about. I want the peace of God and the presence of God. And to think that it's not that, you know, I'm more angry than God is. You know, he said better than, you know, have a millstone around your neck than to cause a little one to stumble. He cares about this stuff, but he also cares about my heart. So talk about how to navigate. I mean, you get it from all sides, Jody. You get links to interviews and all kinds. I mean, I'm sure you do. So how do you steward a winsome, joyful, pure, humble heart in a day of so much vitriol and offense?
Well, I think about Jesus when he was on the cross dying for our sins, and he looks and says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I think a lot of people really have good intentions in their views and the things that they're seeing, and they really feel passionate about making their opinions known, but realizing they might not even know what they're doing and how it's coming across. And so being able to overlook and forgive others is what Jesus did, and I feel like that's what I need to do as well.
Boy, that's so good. Now, this isn't, I'm going to cover that one on the other side of the break because it's too deep and it might trigger some people. But let's touch on what forgiveness is not. We'll walk through as many of these as we can before the end of the break. What forgiveness is not, it's not, so if you're seeking total forgiveness, and what I like about his title is total forgiveness, because, I mean, that to me is cleaning the whole house, so that when you think about that person, you finally get to a place where you can pray a blessing on them, you can trust them to God. But some people think that in doing that, you're saying, God, just let them off the hook completely and let there be no consequence for their sin. So forgiveness is not approval over what they did, excusing what they did, justifying what they did. Let's talk about just those three at first. Maybe say a word to the person who feels afraid that if they let go of their cause, they'll not be dealt with at all.
You know, a lot of times we can hold on to unforgiveness because we want to use it as a punishment to them.
Yeah.
And really, we're stepping in and taking God's place when we do that. And the Lord will take care of them. And so when we are walking in forgiveness, it's not saying, yeah, I approve that they hurt me and this was a good thing. It's being able to move past it even though it occurred. And so it's not approving, excusing, justifying. It doesn't make what they did okay. It still really happened and it really hurt.
And God sees it, and God deals, and he has a wise, brilliant way of disciplining, and he just does. Okay, pardoning, it's not pardoning what they did, and you say pardon, or I think the book actually says pardon is to release legal consequences. It may not mean reconciliation, or denying what they did, or blindness, or even forgetting, or refusing to take it seriously. All those things, to me, that's what makes forgiveness so powerful, is to say, this was a grievous error, or this was a horrific sin. But because of the mercy that I've received, I'm extending mercy to you and trusting Jesus not only to heal my wounded heart, but to deal with your wayward heart. I mean, we've got to be able to trust the justice of God if we're going to call on the mercy of God.
Absolutely. He will do a better job than we do if we let him step in and take care of things.
Boy, that's so good. So this is one of the things, and when we come back, we'll talk about what forgiveness is. But he says this, the ultimate proof of total forgiveness takes place when we sincerely petition the Father to let those who've hurt us off the hook, even if they've hurt not only us, but also those close to us. And again, taking that out of context, that can cause some rage in some, because there are people who've endured incredible, incredible hurts. So that's why I think it's important that you hear he's not saying pardon, not even saying reconciliation or even denying. It's entrusting, because God is wise. And in fact, he has a chapter on playing God and us stepping into that judgment role and how dangerous that is. So we'll dig into that as well. And I'll maybe read some of your texts. We're going to pray for some of you. Talking to my friend Jody Roush, and we're doing a book talk. We're unpacking some of the content from R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness. This is really, to me, I think the best book I've ever read on forgiveness, because it really is total forgiveness. And he just builds a case for such an invitation that there's so much more that God has for you. And it's so biblical. Subtitle, when everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. I've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a moment. Here, I'm loved. God is good. That's enough. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Jody Roush. We're doing something we're calling Book Talk. And if you'd like us to do this again, if there are other books you'd like us to explore, let us know. Today, we're talking about a book that profoundly impacted my friend Jody, R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness. I will say I read a lot of books. This is the best book I've ever read on forgiveness, because it's all about total forgiveness. The subtitle is When Everything in You Wants to Hold a Grudge, Point a Finger, and Remember the Pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. And one of the big takeaways for me was you diminish the anointing of God in your own life when you decide to hold a grudge or not to forgive. And it's really about an invitation to intimacy with God, that it's not so much about the offense of the other person. It's about the invitation to be much with God, to enjoy his presence and to walk with him and to care more about your relationship with God than anything, and to trust God to be a just God. Now, I had the question up and it disappeared because on the text line, so give me a second. There we go. Thank you for that. All right. First of all, I want you to know we've got 5 copies to give away of RT's book, Total Forgiveness. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And this dear listener says, how do you forgive and let go when you're still in the midst of it? You still have another 7 months to deal with a group of individuals. For my daughter and I, it's a group of teenagers and their moms. And to clarify, it's not a bullying situation. It's more of a lack of inclusion and an acknowledgement type of situation. What do you say, Jody?
That's really tough. But really, Jesus, when he was in the midst of it on the cross, he was dying and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And really, when we jump into chapter 2, we talk about how we can have total forgiven. How to know we have totally forgiven. And that's all about the story of Joseph. And he really got persecuted by his brothers, thrown in prison. He went through so many things and he was accused, and he was able to walk through it. So it may come a time where you'll find that you can totally forgive, but you just keep pressing through and realize the Lord's got you.
And you said this during the break too, for this mom and her daughter and these friends, you know, look to Jesus, because while the offense was full in motion, he was on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And the reason that's important, again, that kind of forgiveness is not letting them off the hook, so to speak. It's entrusting them to God so that God can deal in his wisdom. But the forgiveness is for you. This is what RT says. He says, when Jesus says, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you, he's not talking about how to achieve salvation. He was referring to receiving the anointing of God and participating in an intimate relationship with the Father. Unless we're in a state of forgiveness towards others, we cannot be in an intimate relationship with God. And the fact that Joseph, such a great example, I mean, he had so many layers of betrayal, horrific betrayal. But the fact is, even when his brothers came and they appeared, he sent everybody out because he did not want to spread the gossip. The whole nation would have turned against his brothers and ordered their heads. But he handled it, you know, privately, discreetly. And he'd worked so long on forgiveness, obviously, because he was in a position when he finally connected with them to offer them, to say, you meant it for evil, but God did turn it for good. And it's just amazing sometimes when God allows things through his fingers, there's always a reason. He's not sanctioning it, but it's like, you know, they betrayed him. But in the Psalms, it says God knew there would be a famine, so he sent Joseph on ahead. So he used the wickedness in men's hearts to establish his purpose on the earth.
And a lot of times we don't even know what God is doing in our kids when they're getting left out and things are happening.
Good point.
God may be preparing her for something in her future. And so we can't always protect them from all the things that happen, but God will turn it around and use it for their good.
And again, you know, I've seen, because our kids are grown now, but I've seen situations, drama situations where the hurt, because, you know, the mean girl thing is so terrible. And, you know, it can infiltrate too in sports and all those things. But I've seen people, Christians, get so battered by bitterness that it destroys their health, destroys their relationships. It is that poison that's in your soul. So if you can get a vision for what freedom looks like and trust that, you know what, as Jody was saying, even when my daughter seems outside the circle, that a lot of the greats in the Bible accomplished great things were outsiders that God used to forge their character. So God, trust him and care enough about your walk with God and model that for your daughter so that she can learn what it means to walk in purity and power. You will see the kingdom of God come to earth. And I think that maybe needs to be said a little more. I see quite a few more texts coming in that I want to address. But when you think about the anointing of God and the intimacy of God, the sense of his presence, those are supernatural propositions. And I think if it just feels like an ought to or should do because it's what Christians do, we're missing the bigger picture.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that R.T. Kendall says later in his book, that really forgiveness is a supernatural thing. When we can forgive our enemies, we step into the supernatural. And so, yeah, it's amazing what it can do in us and through us.
I think I found that. This is it. Listen to this quote. When you totally forgive your enemy, you've crossed over into the supernatural realm. Perhaps you're like me and wish you could excel in all the gifts of the Spirit. You wish you could have a hand in signs and wonders. You'd love to see your usefulness intensified and extended by a double anointing. The gifts are supernatural. That is, they are above and beyond the natural order of things. There's no natural explanation for the truly miraculous. But if you and I totally forgive one who is truly an enemy, believe me, we've crossed over into the realm of the supernatural. So let's just take this incident with this daughter and this mom and this group of girls who are excluding and the moms who are probably being petty too. Let's say she's like thinking, I got bigger fish to fry. I want to please God. I want to know his presence. I'm going to use this time to teach my daughter the power and the wonder of forgiveness. And if we have to throw that hot potato up 100 times today and 99 tomorrow, we're doing it because Jesus has extended such mercy to me and even the sins I can't see about myself. And then the Lord starts to speak. And then God gives this daughter a prophetic wisdom and insight and gives this mom insight on how to intercede for these people who don't know what they're doing. And suddenly she becomes a force, a spiritual force for good amongst people who don't even know that they're being interceded for. That to me is what the kingdom looks like.
Such a different kingdom than the kingdom of this world, where we have a chance. The Bible says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And when we can be kind to people who are mistreating us, it does something to them.
Yeah. One thing I've thought about a lot is just the day that I see Jesus face to face, I just know there's going to be a revelation that hits me that I'm not going to realize how deep my offenses actually went. You know, it's like while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and he fully forgave. So now when the Father sees me, he sees Jesus' righteousness. It's like, I don't even know how deep my selfishness has gone. And I don't even know how profoundly I've broken his heart, but he sends new mercies every day. And I think if we could really focus on the depths of the forgiveness we've received for things we can't even see, he keeps loving us. I think it would make it easier for us to be able to extend it to others. This dear listener wrote in, in addition to needing to forgive the string of people who hurt, betrayed, abused, and misused me for at least a decade, I find myself needing to forgive God, to whom I prayed for healthy, nurturing relationships, and he seemed to give me the opposite. I can't seem to reconcile his wise, sovereign goodness with the depth of pain that came from what it seems he ordained. It left me not trusting him and feeling betrayed by him. So sad. What do you say?
So sad. I think about Joseph again. They cover it in chapter 2 where he had dreams. He went and talked to his brothers, told him about the dreams that God put in his heart. And he went to prison. He ended up getting accused of things. He got forgotten. And there were so many bad things. And I've laughed about it before and go, sometimes your dream that God gives you looks like a nightmare for a while. Mm-hmm. And then God steps in. And mm-hmm. So I would just say to this listener that God's not done with her story yet. God's not done with his or her story yet. And God's still working it out. And if it's not over, if it's not good, it's not over yet.
Yeah. You said that to me years ago. If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. One thing I would say too, that just kind of came to me thinking of that gal, or I think it's a gal who feels God even betrayed by God. I wish I could remember. It's one of the neuroscience Christian counselors. I can't remember which one, but how they've ministered to women, like especially coming out of human trafficking. I mean, think about that kind of level of forgiveness, but they knew they had to get them to a place of not only forgiveness, but gratitude in God, trusting that their Father is good, even though that horrific stuff happened. And that, you know, they realized that the brain can't fake, you can't fake gratitude and you can't fake forgiveness. It's like if your heart and head are not in it, they're not in it. And so what they basically said is just put it all out on the table, everything about your life. And is there one speck in there for which you're sincerely grateful? Because it actually, when you find it and you feel that little quicken of gratitude, it actually releases feel-good hormones. It creates a neural pathway response in your brain. And they're like, if it's a speck of dust, if it's that small of a thing, the sunrise this morning, or tulips that poked through the snow on that one day. You do have things for which to be grateful for. So you've had hardship, you've had pain, and God has allowed it. Those are really hard things to reconcile. But I often say trauma compresses our good memories, and it kind of compresses even the blessings that surround us. We don't even see them. What you need to do is start to see them again. So I'm just praying that as you spread everything on the table, everything about your life, God will show you some things for which you can be profoundly grateful. Start there. Lord, this is all so horrendous, hurts so bad, but this, I can sincerely thank you for this. I'm telling you that that's a supernatural proposition. And gratitude, I believe, opens up our spiritual eye. So that might be a step one in moving in the direction. You will find that he is good because he can't deny his character. I promise you, you will just start taking those next steps. Okay, Jody, we've got this listener said, got divorced somehow, but distant between my three kids. I blame my ex-wife for this. I need to forgive her and my kids. I have pain from this because my kids won't talk to me and visit me. Again, such profound pain. Anything you'd want to say to them?
I would just say forgiveness, the whole subject of forgiveness isn't about the other person and letting them off the hook. And we've kind of alluded to that already, but it's really about freedom for ourselves. And so pressing in and just moving past it will release something in our own lives where we can get that closeness back with God, and He will take care of the rest. Like the Bible says that if we seek Him, we will find Him. If we seek Him with all of His, all of our heart. And even that verse that I used at the beginning of the show about He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I really believe that if He can just get past and forgive, that He will really seek the Lord and God will work on His behalf.
I can't prove this, but I believe so strongly that there is, you know, that when we move towards God or when we move towards agreeing with the enemy, a supernatural transaction happens. In other words, I wonder what kind of triangulating is happening between the enemy, between your ex, your kids, and your heart, because you're part of the equation, even though you feel you've been on the painful end of it because you're estranged from your kids. Even so, if your heart stays bitter, it's another open door for the enemy. What if you got him out of the equation as far as it concerns you, to say, Lord, you know my heart. I want my kids. I want to be connected with my family. Help me to get to this place of total forgiveness so that your heart gets back to that place. I'm just wondering, if you shut him down there, God is released to move in such a much bigger way, because he partners with us. So, yeah. I mean, our obedience matters.
There was a spot in the book on page 138. It says, "The Satan knows what we know. He hangs around day and night, waiting to exploit any weakness he can find in us. The single greatest weakness he loves to see is our inability to forgive." It was in this context of offering forgiveness that Paul said he was not ignorant of Satan's ways. Satan can take advantage of us through bitterness, our refusal to let something drop, or insistence on dwelling on it. It's crucial that we rid our hearts of bitterness, lest we hand the devil an invitation on a silver platter to enter our lives.
Wow. Thank you for that. I think we'll pause here. When we come back, I see more texts coming in. Tell us how you're doing. I love this text. So, so powerful. So glad to have you listening. Then we're just having a table talk, a book talk about a very important topic. Now, I don't think there are enough books on this topic, but this is the best I've read so far. Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. We're going to pray for some of you who feel like they've got a mountain to climb when it comes to forgiveness. But you know what? The Lord Himself is going to help you. It's a prayer away. And then you pray it again. You know, you just keep running back to Jesus, handing it over and trusting Him. And the only way you can do that is to get a bigger vision of what is on the other side. You know, as R.T. Kendall writes, that unforgiveness is hindering the anointing of God in your life. It's diminishing your intimacy with God. It's diminishing the power on your life. And God wants you to walk in power and wholeness and freedom. And He can do that in and through you. And He can deal with those who've hurt you. He's a very efficient, wise, all-knowing God. More with my friend Jody Roush in a minute. So here's a question for you. What do you love about Faith Radio? Has a particular show, something you've heard, changed the way you think and the way you pray? We would love to hear from you. Your story can encourage others and will glorify God. And you know what? It encourages us too. So share what you love about Faith Radio by calling toll-free 877-933-2484. Leave a message today. We sure appreciate you. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. I have my friend Jody Roush in studio. We're doing what we're calling book talk. And again, if you want us to do more of these, let us know if there's a particular book you'd like us to cover. Today we're talking a book that really rocked Jody's world and really has rocked so many. It's really the best book I've ever read on forgiveness, R.T. Kendall's Total Forgiveness. When everything in you wants to hold a grudge, point a finger, and remember the pain, God wants you to lay it all aside. Thanks to Charisma House, we've got 5 copies to give away. It's such a biblical case for forgiveness. And sometimes you think it's all bad news because you got to hand, not only have you been hurt, but now you got to hand over your hurt. But it's not that. This is all good news, because He's saying Unforgiveness blocks the anointing of your life. Unforgiveness blocks the intimacy. It blocks the power and the freedom and the wholeness that God, it's like putting a kink in the hose of his goodness that he wants to pour out into you. And so we have a choice in that, and it is hard, but there's a way to do it. If you're struggling and holding on to a grudge, and so many are, even those who may not even realize it till the Lord brings it up, I'd love for you to get your hands on this book. You can enter the drawing, 877-933-2484. Text the word book to that number. Now, we went through a list of what forgiveness is not, and it's not pardoning what they did. It's not reconciling necessarily. It's not saying what they did was okay. In the book, it also says, here's what forgiveness is. It's being aware of what someone has done and still forgiving them. It's choosing to keep no record of wrong. It's refusing to punish. It's refusing to gossip and get everybody into your side. And that's so tempting, isn't it? It's being merciful. It's being gracious in what you say. It's an inner condition. It's the absence of bitterness. And God just knows, Jody, what unforgiveness would do to our heart. And bitterness is poison. It's toxic. And even science has proven it's terrible for our bodies. So I want to talk real quick here. We've got so many things that I still want to talk about by the end of the show. But scripture talks about a root of bitterness. So it comes in as a seed. And if we don't uproot it quickly, it becomes a root in our lives. You know, those bad roots that are thick and they go down deep. Well, if we allow it, then it springs up and it bears the bad kind of fruit that defiles many. So here's this passage in three different translations, Hebrews 12:15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and corrupt many. That's New Living. This is The Voice. Watch carefully that no one falls short of God's favor. No well of bitterness springs up to trouble you and throw many others off the path. So how we steward our hearts really does impact others. Here's the Message translation. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for the weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for that Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. So there's this thing of like we are wanting to hang on, but we're forsaking so much. But also what stands out to me is the community. This is a community event. Enemy isolates, and that's where we build a case. That's where we hash and rehearse. But in community, watching out for each other so that we can stay on the path.
Wow, it springs up and it affects many people. Yeah. I think about how many churches or communities have been destroyed by people who are angry or bitter about something and wouldn't let it go. Even families, like it can work on our kids and it can destroy their lives and our relatives. So much can happen with bitterness when we let it spring up and grow.
Yeah. One chapter I want to make sure we cover is your chapter 7. Set that up for us because, and then I'll get to the other thing I was going to ask about if we can have time, but I feel like it's super important to talk about forgiving things that seem impossible to forgive.
Yeah, there was an excerpt in the book that says this: the greater the hurt, the greater the blessing that will come with forgiveness. The chief motivation to forgive is not only the promise of mercy that will be extended to us, but also the greater reward that is promised, whether it be bestowed here below or in heaven. Jesus confirmed this when he spoke of the ultimate beatitude. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that's Matthew 5:11-12, and it's quoted in the book.
Hmm. So again, the greater, say that again. How did he say that?
The greater the hurt, the greater the blessing that will come with forgiveness.
Yeah. And I think that's why I love the book so much, Jody, is he's really making a case for going, you know, we are trading our birthright, so to speak, for a bowl of soup where we were like, I'm just going to hold on to this thing and let go of the greater blessing. And, you know, maybe of people who really like trashed their lives because they wouldn't let go. And what did they gain? They lost so much more. And then others who have walked through things, you're thinking, how could you forgive? But they're like, I've got bigger fish to fry. I got things I want to do with my life. And their life glorifies God. They really become a trophy of grace.
Oh, absolutely. And it's forgiveness is something that we constantly have to work through. So whether it's one big event in our life that really threw us off or it's a daily offense, and the Lord's Prayer talks a lot about, you know, forgive us this day our daily bread. bread, and or give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's something we have to daily do. And so this book, I think, is one of those that need to be on everyone's bookshelf. Mm-hmm. And I read it 4.5 years ago, and I read it again just recently. And I'm like, it's good every time I read it. I need to be reminded to forgive.
Right, again, because it's so crucial in our walk with God. And as we live in a day of such high offendability, if we can just be reminded continually how and why to steward our hearts. And I just, again, if you can see the highest goal really is intimacy with God and to walk in anointing, because scripture talks about take a firm grip with your hands, you know, strengthen your weak knees, mark out a straight path. Why? So that the lame will not fall out of the race. And then you look at the bitterness one. It's like, if you allow that, it defiles many. So you're never an island. How you steward what's happening in your life impacts a lot of people, and God loves you so much. And there's one chapter that's titled Playing God, where he talks about how the sin of judging is the opposite of graciousness. And I've got a sign in my studio that says, a gracious woman retains honor. I just think that's good, because we need to remember that there people are going to be snarky, but there's a way to respond in graciousness. And this excerpt is from R.T.'s book. This is how he writes. He says, judging people is elbowing in on God's exclusive territory. Judging is God's prerogative, nobody else's. If we move in on his territory, God looks at us and says, really? You got to be kidding. To move in on territory of the eternal judge will get his attention, but not the kind of attention you want. And I think that's so important, because in the next chapter, he talks about what is worth judging. And I think he was more talking about our own hearts, because we are very quick to make assignments and assessments about things we don't know about.
Yeah. If we stop and look at our own lives and think, if Jesus was on the cross and he's like, well, that offense was too much for me to forgive from you, you know, I'll forgive that one. No, I'm going to overlook that one. I'm just glad that he doesn't pick and choose the things that he's going to forgive of us as well. So. Mm-hmm.
So in that chapter about playing God and what can you judge and what not, one of the things is he offers this list of when you should not be the person to help, when you're not the person to help, because sometimes we're like, let me at him, because you think you see something. And when we've been doing these Wednesday live streams for Strong in Battle, I've talked a lot about how when you're not stewarding your perspective and dealing with issues in your own heart, you might discern something spiritually but react physically. You might discern in the spirit and react in the flesh. And God might even have given you a gift of discernment, and you'll misuse that gift if you're letting bitterness, if you're not fearing God, if you don't see the other person. So RT offers this list of kind of bullet points on how you know you're not the person to help. When you're upset, when you're personally or emotionally involved, when you desire to punish or get even, if there's jealousy or envy in your heart, if your self-esteem is related. But when you should help, this reminds me of you, Jody. This is, to me, describes you. When you're meeting a need, and need is an acronym that's necessary, encouraging, edifying, dignifying. When it's irresponsible of you not to speak out because you're in a strategic position to help. When you're asked to step in by a responsible person with no agenda. And when you're impartial and have no agitation surrounding the issue. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, when we have a chance to help others, we can't have the plank, like the scripture says earlier in this chapter. We can't have the plank in our eye and try to get the speck out of someone else's. And so if we can keep our heart right and be able to empathetically help someone else who's struggling, that's when we know we can just step in and help.
Yeah. Wow. So good. RT says this. Total forgiveness is a chosen privilege. It's a privilege to be godly, to be like God, and to pass this forgiveness on to someone else. Why would you want to forgive? Because you prize intimacy and fellowship with the Father. Because you prize intimacy and fellowship with the Father more than you desire to see your enemy being punished. We're just about ready to wrap here, but I'm circling back to the idea of, you know, one of the big reasons to forgive, because we've been forgiven, but that unforgiveness hinders and diminishes the anointing of God. And I'm wondering how many people have maybe missed the best of what God has for them because they didn't want to forgive. And I just wonder if you could just say a word, just got about a minute left, to cast a vision for living out the best God has for us by trusting his invitation and charge to forgive.
Well, I just really like, again, the tagline on this book, when everything in you wants to hold a grudge. It could be the little things, the big things, but even the small things. Point a finger and remember the pain. God wants you to lay it all aside because he wants our heart. He wants us to be able to be close to him. And the enemy knows what happens when we have that distance from God. We can't minister to other people the way we want to. We can't experience God's presence. And I'd have to say, too, my relationship with my husband was radically changed when I began to forgive and overlook just the smallest offenses. And It's just so much
fun.
It's
a miracle. Yeah, it's a supernatural proposition, isn't it?
And that's what God wants for all of us.
It is. And, you know, we're begging God for revival. And he says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, you know, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Something powerful happens when we take seriously the words that come out of God's mouth and we do what he says. He takes seriously the words and the prayers that come out of our mouth. To me, this is part of the coming revival. As we steward our hearts, as we deal with the stuff in our hearts, trust God to heal it, and we walk forward in wholeness, anointing, and power. That's, to me, is the stuff of miracles. Jody, come back and let's talk about another book someday.
Thank you. Bless you.
So fun. R.T. Kendall's book, Total Forgiveness. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Guess what, friend? Your story is worth it. Your heart is worth it. God has so much more for you. So work it out. Trust him. Find a counselor if you need to, but get to the other side so that you can walk free. Have a blessed day. We sure love you. We'll get you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.